It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin is among at least 18 states that have taken steps to cut costs for its state HIV drug assistance program, a move that the state health department says will affect hundreds of people.
A report from KFF finds that states are taking steps like restricting eligibility and the scope of services.
These state programs are funded by the federal Ryan White HIV/AIDS program, first established in 1990 to help people with low income access medical care, medication, and support services for managing HIV.
Wisconsin's HIV drug assistance program serves roughly 1,500 clients a year and provides medication assistance for over 10,000 prescriptions annually. That's according to a 2024 estimate from the Department of Health Services.
Jen Cates joins us now. She's Senior Vice President at KFF and Director of the organization's Global and Public Health Policy Program, where she's been analyzing state cuts to AIDS drug assistance programs. Jen, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
It's good to be here.
Now, the HIV drug assistance program here in Wisconsin serves thousands of residents every year. Every state does something like this. Give us a sense, broad strokes, what do these programs do in states around the country?
Yes. Yeah, so in 1990, so quite a while ago, Congress passed something called the Ryan White Care Act, and it has set up a state-funded programs across the country that would provide AIDS treatments to people with HIV as well as other services, in recognition that those services were expensive and states were really struggling to meet the needs. So right now, every state has set up what's called an AIDS drug assistance program. It's funded by the federal government, and states also put resources in. And they've basically been a lifeline to people with HIV across the country who otherwise would not be able to afford their medications.
You did an analysis for KFF and found a lot of states, including Wisconsin, are doing some kind of cost-cutting measures. What are the fiscal challenges facing states that they're having to look at cuts in the services they provide?
So we did this analysis because we were surprised to see that states, for the first time in many, many years, they were cutting back on the generosity of the program. They were restricting eligibility. And why are they doing that? Well, states are facing financial constraints. The economy writ large is pushing against states' own budgets. And that's not just specific to this program. It's a broader issue. In addition, there's some health financing pressures on states. We no longer have the ACA enhanced tax credits, so it's more expensive for people to get health insurance, and Medicaid is being cut back. So states are facing fiscal pressures in many, many different directions. And with that, they are having to look at the different programs they support or the federal government supports and say, what can we do to cut costs? What we saw was that many states, and actually 23 states, were either doing something like this to their aid apps or considering cutting back, reducing eligibility, cutting back on the generosity of insurance purchasing, or other measures. But ultimately, all of these steps can affect access to HIV treatments.
Now, the state's Department of Health Services here in Wisconsin confirmed that they are making some of these changes, a bunch of maybe small things on their own that seem to add up to a lot. What do you see when you look at Wisconsin compared to how the other states in your analysis handled this?
Yeah, so the most dramatic state is not Wisconsin. It was Florida was where this really started, where Florida attempted to cut back on the income eligibility very dramatically and would end up cutting thousands of people out of the program. And that their legislature actually pushed back and passed an emergency measure to stop that from happening, at least temporarily. But other states like Wisconsin are doing other kinds of things. And Wisconsin is cutting back on one aspect of the program that's been really innovative and important, which is that aid apps, in addition to purchasing outright AIDS medications, are also able by law to purchase insurance plans for people with HIV in the marketplace. And if you think about it, when you buy someone insurance, you're not only giving them access to their medications, but you're giving them access to, let's say, heart medication or any other health needs that they might have. And in fact, it's really cost effective. It's cheaper to buy health insurance for someone in the market than it is to buy just their medications. What Wisconsin is doing is cutting back on that program. And other states are doing that too, but it's going to mean that people with HIV are going to be faced with much more difficulty getting their AIDS meds because the marketplace, the health plans that are in all states, the costs of those are going up. So it's the most cost-effective way aid apps can help, but it's also one that some states like Wisconsin are cutting back on.
Let's talk about the cost of HIV and AIDS treatment, especially those medications. I thought, well, maybe some of these have been around for a while. Costs might have come down over the decades. Well, hang on. Looking at the numbers, we're talking about some pretty expensive treatments here, right?
Yeah, we're talking about thousands of dollars, a year. And the costs haven't really come down in general. We've had great treatments. I mean, the difference is today, somebody with HIV could take one pill and be very healthy and have a normal lifespan. So they're incredible medications, but they cost. And so it is not something that someone who's – so let me just back up and say that the ADAP program is for those people with HIV who are uninsured. They don't have insurance or they have limited insurance. So it's for that group of people that really face financial hardship and would otherwise have their health suffer if they weren't able to get access to AIDS drugs through this program. But yes, the medications are out of reach of most people who don't have coverage.
One concern, you're right in the analysis, is that people might end up on waiting lists for participating in these programs. What are we seeing? Is that something that's happening?
So right now, there's no state that has put in what they're calling a waiting list. And this was a problem that occurred more than 10 years ago. And it got a lot of national headlines because the idea that people with HIV in the U.S. were waiting for their medications and couldn't get them was, pretty big deal. But what states are effectively doing if they reduce eligibility, if they say, we're going to say we're taking down our income eligibility from 300% of FPL to 150% of the federal poverty, or we're taking out the insurance purchasing, they're effectively creating a waiting list that's not called a waiting list. So the next person who comes along and is wanting services might not be eligible. So there's no active waiting lists at this time, but there are these measures which are going to keep people out of the program. We're monitoring it, as are others, to see if states do end up imposing a wait list or taking harsher measures if this doesn't get resolved.
Another option, as opposed to cutting services and cutting costs, might be for a state or even the federal government to put more money into this kind of program. Wisconsin, at least for now, has a budget surplus. Not every state is in that same boat. Are you seeing moves at the state or federal level to say, okay, hey, this health coverage is more expensive, these drugs are more expensive, we should put more money into this program?
So years ago, when there were waiting lists, that there were a couple of different times when the federal government had to step in and provide emergency funding to try to address the problem. The federal government hasn't done that at this time. And what we're, states, putting Wisconsin aside, states generally haven't had surpluses and they have to balance their budgets. So maybe Wisconsin's in a better place if it wanted to reconsider. But what had happened in Florida, for example, when Florida was about to take a step that would kick thousands of people off of their program, this legislature passed an emergency measure to provide funding on a short-term basis to address it. But that's not a long-term solution either. So I think that's kind of where we're at, is states are having to make difficult decisions. But if a state does have a surplus, they could look at this situation and say, maybe we should not reduce access for people who are living with HIV.
And finally, Jen, at a very personal level, is this going to be a situation where somebody who last year was able, with this kind of help, to afford the AIDS HIV medication they need, it might be that in the months to come, they stop taking that medication if there's not a viable way to pay for it?
Yeah, so this is the real concern. So what Wisconsin's doing, for example, is they're saying effective January 1st, 2026, which we've already had, they're no longer providing the insurance assistance to new applicants. But starting next year, in a year, that's going to apply to all people who have been benefiting from the insurance tool that the state has been using. So there could be cases where people with HIV just facing the high costs of medications and the high costs of living might have to make a difficult choice and may not be able to afford their meds. And that would have dramatic impact on their health. And it could also affect the spread of HIV, since people with HIV who are on antiretrovirals and they have a suppressed viral load are not going to transmit HIV to somebody else. So keeping their viral load down and keeping them on AIDS meds is really important for their own health and for prevention.
Jen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Jen Cates is Senior Vice President at KFF and Director of the organization's Global and Public Health Policy Program. Looking into local impacts here in Wisconsin now, Dr. Catherine Quinn joins us. She's Director of the Center for Community Health and Intervention Research at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Dr. Quinn, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
How big an impact do you see these Wisconsin restrictions to that HIV drug assistance program having on people here in the state?
We don't know exactly how many people will be impacted, but it could be significant. So there are about 7,600 people in Wisconsin living with HIV, and about 1,800 of them are on HDAP, the HIV drug assistance program in Wisconsin. So, the estimates that, suggest about 23% could be impacted by these changes.
And if someone ultimately is taken off of this program or might have been eligible in the past for new coverage and isn't able because of these changes, what are your concerns about the impact on their health care?
I think the biggest impact is what Jen just mentioned, which is that we know that when someone with HIV is on effective antiretroviral therapy and achieves what is known as viral suppression, so this means that the virus is reduced to undetectable levels in their blood, two things happen. One, the person's own health is dramatically protected and improved. But two, they can't transmit HIV to other people. So again, it's not just good for the individual, but this is a really great and significant public health achievement. And the numbers in Wisconsin bear this out. So statewide, about 81% of people in Wisconsin living with HIV are virally suppressed. But among people on HDAP, that number rises to 95%. And so this is a really incredible achievement that happens when people have access to HIV medications, when their insurance premiums are covered so that they don't drop their plans, and when there are case managers available to help them navigate the system and show up when life gets really complicated. And these numbers really highlight then the impact of programs like HDAP for us.
You've researched how various social and structural factors influence HIV prevention and treatment. In that research, where does this federal Ryan White program fit into the landscape of HIV prevention and treatment?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's really important to highlight is that Ryan White Part B funding not only provides that medication coverage, but it also funds a network of community agencies that provide things like case management, housing, mental health and substance use services, medical transportation. And these are support services that research consistently shows are essential to keeping people on treatment. So if someone is unhoused or can't get to the clinic or is in the middle of a mental health crisis, they're not able to stay on their medications, no matter how good those medications are, right? And so one of the concerns that we're seeing is that with the cuts in assistance to affording medications combined with the cuts to case management services, we can see a real large impact, not just on the medication, but also those social and structural factors that impact someone's ability to adhere to their medications. Housing, for example, is a really critical one. We know that unstable housing is one of the biggest factors that impact someone's ability to retain them or to stay in HIV care.
Since the 80s, the U.S., I think it's fair to say, has made a lot of progress when it comes to HIV in preventing the spread of the illness. And of course, the treatments we're talking about weren't available when HIV first broke out. How is it in some ways a victim of that success that people maybe aren't thinking of HIV and AIDS as a serious problem, even though obviously for people who have the disease, it still is?
Certainly. And I think that we in Wisconsin, we've, been able to benefit from those advances in HIV care and treatment. We see about between 200 and 300 new HIV cases in the state of Wisconsin every year, which is low compared to many other states. And this is something that we can celebrate, but we can also point to programs like HDAP, which allow people to, again, maintain that undetectable viral load and stop the spread of HIV. And these are like, that is one of the best ways that we can prevent HIV is by treating people who currently have HIV so that it is not spread to other people.
If these cutbacks stick for a long time here in Wisconsin, are there other things that can kind of fill the gaps? Are there private services or things that hospitals offer or I don't know what that might help people who lose this coverage or who aren't available for it in the next couple of years under the Ryan White program?
There certainly are some options. So even in Wisconsin, right, Badger Care exists for some, but many HDAP clients are childless adults who are going to fall into a coverage gap. Their income is too high for traditional Medicaid, but there are no affordable insurance alternatives. There are pharmaceutical manufacturing assistance programs, but without the help of case managers to navigate those, they can be really difficult to access. The case management programs, I think, are one of the biggest challenges. You know, community organizations, I think, already struggle to be able to consistently fund those programs and support all of the people who need them. And while I'm sure that many of them would attempt to find other funding sources to support that work, I think those cuts would ultimately be pretty significant.
Now, the cuts in the kind of services we're talking about in Wisconsin and other states, as we heard from Jen, it's kind of a secondhand consequence of things like rising insurance premiums, rising costs of medications. Are you hearing conversations in the health community and maybe the health policy advocacy community saying, OK, with this new reality, with those higher costs, we should be advocating for more state and or federal investment to bump up the Ryan White program to meet those needs?
I haven't heard too much of that just yet, but I think one of the reasons for that is one of the issues that Jen pointed out, which is that for Wisconsin, those cuts that took effect January 1st of 2026 are for new enrollees or applicants into the HDAP program. And so people currently receiving coverage, that hasn't changed. Those cuts are all going to be in effect for current recipients of the program effective next January. And when we start to really see those impact our current clients on a broad basis, I think that's when those are going to be heavily felt. And there's going to be a lot more advocacy because we'll be able to see what that looks like. I think there's also an equity component here that's important to mention, which is that Black and Hispanic individuals are overrepresented among our HDAP clients because they historically have faced some of the greatest barriers to healthcare. And so, one, I think the fact that HDAP achieves 95% viral suppression across that population and includes so many people facing structural disadvantage is a genuine public health success story. And these cuts are going to put that very vulnerable population at risk. These are, in general, very low income individuals, and again, overrepresented among people of color. And so I worry a lot about what the social and structural cuts to things like case management and mental health and substance use services will mean for those communities.
Dr. Quinn, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Catherine Quinn is director of the Center for Community Health and Intervention Research at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Earlier, we spoke with Jen Cates, senior vice president at KFF and director there of the Global and Public Health Policy Program. We've been talking about cuts to HIV assistance programs.